All right, hour number three is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Monday night, it is our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt Rogers, welcome. How are you, sir?
I am doing just fine. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Beautiful weekend. Love this time of year. It was gorgeous. Can't complain.
Yep, shorts and a light windbreaker. Yep.
Not bad at all. It gets a little coolish once the sun goes down, but you know what? Not bad otherwise.
That's where you sit around the fire pits and
that's right.
Have conversation. That's the best time.
That's what we do in Colorado. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so speaking of Colorado, our market is hot. There's not a lot of inventory. The inventory that is there, people need to really be prepared if they're ready to buy, i.e. they need to get with you first, right?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, John, because right now, as tough as the market is, realtors are strongly suggesting that if you're thinking of buying in the next 30 or 60 days, which means if you're thinking of selling or buying, you need to be pre-approved for the next house you're going to buy. And they actually want you to go through the process. And because it's taking longer, you need to get that done now.
Well said. Yeah, and we talked to a realtor on Saturday on the Fix It Radio show, and the reality is everything you just said is exactly right. In fact, the realtors in some cases, Kurt, won't even take you around and show you, you know, a house and what's going on if you don't have that going.
Yeah, sellers aren't even going to, they're not even going to look at the offer if they don't know you qualify for it and that somebody can tell them yes.
And by the way, qualify not with just some little letter, but really they you know, the broker, you have gone through the process of knowing, will they get approved for this mortgage?
Correct. That's exactly right. You got to have certain documentation. It just saves you time. If you spend it now, it'll save you a lot.
Okay, so dumb question on my part. You go through this whole process. You've got your pre-approval. You get your house bought. Because of all of the work that you've already done on the front side, how quickly can folks close?
Actually, about 20, 30 days.
Okay. Yeah, we sure can. Yeah, I can do that. Sorry, I'm talking to Charlie in my ear, Kurt, real quick. So, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Secretary of HUD, Ben Carson, is going to join us in just a moment. We're going to take him a little bit early, so he's going to follow you up. There you go, Kurt. You're the man.
You got it. Thanks, John.
You betcha. I appreciate it, Kurt. Have a great evening. Monday Mortgage Minute. Find Kurt, 720-895-0500. Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Up next, Mighty Hand Construction, which, by the way, if you need some things done around the house, talk to Kurt first. Get your stuff done with Mighty Hand, and then you may want to sell or do something different after the fact, but that's how this works. Talk to Mighty Hand Construction. Find them at klzradio.com, 970-844-9191. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We just got word, too, a few minutes ago that Secretary of HUD, Dr. Ben Carson, will join us a little later in the week. He's got a lot of things going on today, and there's a special event here in Denver that he'll actually be attending here in the near future as well that I cannot talk about. But let's just say that he will join us a little bit later in the week, and we'll get an update on some things he's got going. I can talk about this. There is something that he is very proud of, something that the Housing and Urban Development is working on, and that is a program called FYI. And I can talk about this, FYI. It's Foster Youth to Independence. And what it is essentially giving foster kids that are leaving foster homes because of their age, they're aging out, they're no longer going to be in foster care. These kids have not been adopted, young men and young women. They've not been adopted. We actually have the ability to help them further on with their life, their career, and what have you. And the Department HUD, I should say, Housing and Urban Development, make sure I say that correctly, has helped these kids. And they've done this in 31 states. There's been about 844 of these individuals that they've been able to help. And again, we'll talk about this a little bit later in the week when we get Dr. Ben Carson on, Secretary Carson, I should say, on with us. And we'll talk about that. But that's actually a testament. Again, these are kids that would otherwise not have the ability to move on after leaving foster care. Again, these are kids that did not end up getting adopted. And we talk to people all the time that have been in foster care, that have been adopted, that made something of their life. And this is a way for the Housing and Urban Development to help these kids do something after they've left foster care. So Steve Heck should be joining us here momentarily. Again, editor-at-large of Impunity Observer. And folks, as you all know by now, when it comes to radio, and I guess because of me and how I've done things over the past, I don't know, 30-some years being self-employed, I realize things happen, and sometimes you just run with what you brought, what you got, what you've done, you make the necessary changes, and you move on, and that's just live radio. So I apologize a minute ago of, you know, trying to talk to Charlie back because he had the the folks from the from HUD on with us at the same time, and I had Kurt Rogers on. But anyways, this is how it works here. We make the changes necessary, keep things moving forward, and off we go. Now, all that being said, I talked earlier. I just want to make sure I hit this as well, because we've talked about this numerous times throughout the 3 hours today, 2.5 hours roughly, that COVID and our hospitals in the Colorado area, $60,000 a day we're spending in one hospital. It's the makeshift hospital, and nobody's using it. But yet we as taxpayers are flipping the bill to the tune of about $60,000 a day. So let that sink in. And we'll come back and talk about that here in just a little bit. But up next, again, our guest, as I promised, Steve Heck joining us now. Steve, welcome back. Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much, John. Great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's always a joy to have you. And you're editor-at-large of Impunity Observer. But let's talk about the Breonna Taylor case, because you're claiming, and I believe this, is exposing Marxist deceit.
Yes.
So talk about it, because there's, you know, here's the thing. The other side won't talk about this case in the way you and I are going to talk about it, but I think the truth lies with our side, not the other side.
Well, the greater truth is that they know that their part is not true.
Oh, well said.
I mean, at least the people who plan it, not the people who play the game.
Well said.
But it's this exposes the Marxists, because it's so cut and dry that they created, and they've been working on this for a long time, they created the false narrative that any time anything happens to a black person with a white police officer, whatever the nature of it, it's because of racism. And we all know that's not true.
No, and I want to stop you there, because in the case of Breonna Taylor, I've talked about this on my show, not quite as in-depth as you and I are going to get into it now, but the reality with Breonna Taylor is the police did not fire their weapon until one of them had been shot in the leg, right?
Well, that's exactly the point. You see, when she died, the narrative from that time on, she's become, you know, along with plenty of other
yeah, she's a poster child.
Had problems. Yeah. The narrative was she was killed because the police are racist.
Right.
Now, when the truth comes out, anybody who looks at that truth knows that that's an absurdity. That didn't happen, like you just mentioned. Now, the Attorney General of Kentucky gave a press conference, and he put the information out from the grand jury, explained the whole thing, and they investigated this every which way, and they have corroboration that the police knocked, that they identified themselves as police, said they were there to serve a warrant.
Even though they had a no-knock warrant, right?
Correct. They were ordered by their superiors to identify themselves.
Okay.
If it was a no-knock warrant, they were ordered to identify themselves.
Okay.
And they did.
So let's walk through this. So they show up at the house. They've got a warrant. It's a no-knock warrant, but they've been told they're going to go ahead and knock, identify themselves, which they do.
Right.
They then break the door open, because nobody's opening the door, of course, which, you know, we've
correct.
All seen enough of that through the movies and such to know how that works. So they open the door, and make sure I'm getting this correctly, they see two individuals standing in front of them, one of them in a position where there's a gun pointed at them, and about that time they hear a boom, and one of the officer feels his leg get extremely hot, thinking and knowing at that point he'd been shot.
That's the evidence, and they return fire. And the Attorney General said that they were justified in returning fire, which is pretty obvious.
Yes.
And that the law bars him from filing any charges against those police because of the death of Ms. Taylor. The law bars them. In other words, it's not a discretion thing, according to what he
said.
Yeah,
and make sure that I get this correct, too, and make sure that I tell all of our listeners this, even those that would be on the other side of the aisle, Steve. It doesn't matter whether that person is black, white, yellow, or pink with white polka dots. The reality is the law bars them from doing what you just said, correct?
That's right. That those police were shot at, and they returned fire, and they were justified. That, according to the Kentucky Attorney General. And he, of course, has been savaged since then,
right,
by the entire socialist media, let's call them,
right,
fake news,
right,
media, whatever,
right,
you want to call them, but they don't tell the truth. And there's a whole litany of them. And, of course, Bernie Sanders came on right away and said that this was a disgrace and that it proves that the United States is a racist country.
But that's not... it is so frustrating, Steve, because no, it doesn't prove. In fact, what I will tell you proves that certain individuals are racist, not that the country is racist, but that certain individuals are racist. In fact, I will go as far as to say, because I heard it in the debates last week, the leader of the Democrat Party, in fact, he's the face of the Democrat Party, said that he got to stay home from COVID because there's a black woman stocking the shelves at the local supermarket, which allowed him to stay home. Steve, that's about as racist as it gets.
Well, I mean, what Joe Biden said, if you don't know who you're going to vote for, you ain't black.
Right.
A black interviewer. I mean, that's racist.
It floors me that the same people that will admonish Joe Biden for what he said just recently in what I just talked about a moment ago with a grocery store worker, you know, he's not racist, but the Kentucky Attorney General is because he's following the law.
The whole point is this, that you got to get your definitions right. Now, Fidel Castro said many years ago, 1961, inside the revolution, everything, outside nothing. Hmm. So they have an agenda. The people who lead Black Lives Matter, they're on tape as saying they're trained Marxists.
Yeah, well said.
The founder of Black Lives Matter, one of the co-founders, Alicia Garza was on Joy Reid on I think it's MSNBC she's on, and she was comparing Cameron, the Attorney General of Kentucky, to Bull Connor. I mean, you know, the noted segregationist from, you know, the 60s. And she is also quoted as having said, black lives cannot matter under capitalism. There's the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the whole key, which, by the way, is a false statement. That's a false narrative, which we know. That's not true.
Well, of course it is. But, you know, the way that you take down a country is by creating strife.
Yeah,
they use racism. They do this in other countries, too. They use racism as a divisive issue. They don't want to solve it.
That's right.
If they wanted to solve it, they could.
Well, if they wanted to solve it, they'd change that quote to say, black lives only matter under capitalism.
Well, that would be much more accurate.
Right?
I mean, rule of law.
Yeah,
individualism.
Thank you. Let's face it. Under capitalism, black lives do matter because black lives and any life, for that matter, inside the borders of this great country can become anything they want to become under capitalism.
Well, that's what these people don't like. And it's really, it's more than capitalism. I mean, you could have capitalism, you have mercantilism, you could have perversions of it. But capitalism is a natural occurrence in the world. And it happens under individualism, which mm-hmm. means the individual is the center of society and is protected from the government, that's what our country is, John. I mean, we have rights that the government cannot take away from
Correct.
Us except for due process of law. And these people don't like due process of law because due process of law means that first you get the evidence and then you apply the law.
Yeah, yeah. Due process doesn't mean you go to a police station, lock all the doors from the outside in, and set fire to it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Cameron, the Attorney General, said mob justice is not justice. And he got roasted by, I think it was a CNN anchor, for saying that. Because she said that that's playing what Trump calls him a mob, so that he's saying that the mob is the same one that Trump's identifying. Well, it is.
It is a mob. That's right. It is the same mob. That's exactly right.
And Donald Trump has it exactly right, you know, because he told the Bay of Pigs veterans, Donald Trump said to them, we did not fight tyranny abroad only to let Marxists destroy our beloved country.
Mm.
Now, you know, people might think those are just words. Those are not words. This is a classic Marxist strategy, and the BLM co-founders are Marxists. They got photos of them with Nicolas Maduro. They've eulogized Fidel Castro. And this is absolutely classic. They are dividing. They're using race to divide. If you care about racial justice, then you should look at Senator Tim Scott's proposals. He has a bill out And the Democrats said, no, we're not going to talk to you. And he said, I'll give you every amendment you want, and we'll vote on each one of them separately. And Dick Durbin, the number two guy in the Senate, said that's tokenism. That's a racial slur against these wonderful, tolerant, open-minded, supposedly liberals, which are really illiberal, intolerant, and they become totalitarians. They refuse. They get a racial slur against Tim Scott, who's been working on police reform for years. The Republicans in the Senate and the House will agree with it. Trump agrees with it. Sit down, talk. Let's reform policing. They're ready to do that. But if the Marxists let that happen, they lose their demonization.
Yeah.
Then they lose their separation. And that's that polarization is what drives the violence. And that violence is meant to intimidate people and confuse people. And what they want is for everybody to look and say, hey, if we elect Joe Biden, everything's going to return to normal. No, it's exactly the opposite. If you elect Joe Biden, that violence that you see is going to go all over the country.
Well said. And you know what? That narrative that you just said is not being promoted anywhere. No one's talking about that. Everybody thinks that if Joe Biden's elected, we go back to some sort of peaceful utopia, which you and I both know, Steve, isn't going to happen.
Well, they are pursuing a utopia. But their utopia doesn't exist. And, you know, in Cuba, they pursued that utopia, and they did it in Venezuela. And the results are there for all to see. Now, they claim, Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders, no, we're a rich country. We're a rich country because we're based on individualism.
Right.
They're collectivists. Identity politics is collectivist. You can't judge people. You can't categorize people by whatever group they might happen to be part of. You have to take every individual on their own. So that's right back to what you said before. Under our system, that's the only way that people are equal before the law. And even Martin Luther King said it in his 1963 speech. We're here to cash in on you. The U.S. Declaration of Independence and Constitution. That's the way for racial justice.
Right.
The way for destruction is to tear down the society, which is what they're trying to do. And Black Lives Matter claims that the society is so corrupted that it's built on racism to begin with, that you can't reform it. What you have to do is tear it down and start again. Well, you know what they're going to start with? If they tear it down, you're talking about totalitarianism.
That's right. We're talking again. Steve Heck, editor-at-large of the Impunity Observer. Steve, one last question I want to ask you, and I'm pretty sure I understand the answer to this. Most of my listeners probably do as well, but I think it's worth mentioning. Where does Antifa fit into BLM? In other words, I look at Antifa as just being an arm or a sect of BLM, if you would.
I would say that's true. It's a part of a larger operation. The revolution, if you want to use that term, but you know, this whole movement, it has various components to it. So the Democrats are the political party, and the media are their partners, because
right.
they're the ones that
right.
Promote the false narrative and the lies. That's why they can't tell the truth about what happened to Breonna Taylor.
Correct.
That truth is poison to them. And they have to maintain the false narrative. And then when they have peaceful protests, you see, when people who in good faith believe that they are demonstrating for racial justice, they don't understand that there are infiltrators. This is part of the model. Mm. You have infiltrators who are there to provoke violence, and what they want is for the authorities, police or National Guard, whatever it is, they want the authority to then take physical action against demonstrators, the peaceful kind, the innocent kind, right? That you have provocateurs.
Right.
That's Antifa.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Well said. Steve, great lesson today. I appreciate it very much. As always, you're welcome anytime, sir.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Well, nice having you. Really appreciate it. Steve Hecht, again, you can find him. Just Google his name. It's really easy, H-E-C-H-T, or find him at Impunity Observer. We'll be right back. Purify Shirley is coming up next, folks. And I said this earlier, even if you're not in the market for a new or used car, but you're trying to get rid of a car, they will buy late model, clean, used cars. Doesn't matter. Doesn't have to be a Chevrolet. They'll buy your used car. You can ask them. But on the same token, they've got a full lot of new and used cars. They're ready to get you going for the winter months that are ahead. Find them at purifychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, and don't forget that time equals dollars. In a lot of cases, dollars equal time. Al can help you with both of those. In other words, do you have enough dollars to make it through time, as in retirement? Have you planned properly for that? And then on top of that, what are you going to do in retirement? KLZradio.com is how you find Al, or give him a call directly at 303-744-1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors and SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. We're supposed to have Dr. Ben Carson on, HUD Secretary on at the moment, but we had to reschedule some things along those lines. So what that means is lines are open. Give us a call. Anything you want to talk about, 303-477-5600. What do you think of President Trump and his progress over the weekend when it came to COVID? I guess I'll ask you another question. What do you think of the left's narrative on what's gone on with President Trump and COVID? 303-477-5600. Because, folks, the left doesn't know what to do with President Trump, period, other than criticize. That guy can't do anything right, according to them, no matter what he does. Again, I was texting somebody earlier on the text line talking about how, quote unquote, Trump had bumbled the pandemic. Well, again, I'm going to be one that you're going to have a hard time even convincing me this thing's a pandemic. You know, our one guest that we had on, Michael Beatrice, will say that it was just because of how fast it spread and so on. Yeah, okay, I might buy that. But in today's world, where we're at right now, with the actual real numbers coming out, no, it's not. Now, there's going to be some out there saying, well, John, look at how many people in the White House have it. Okay, so what? Okay, who cares? I'm not saying who cares as to who gets sick, but who cares if they have COVID? I don't know every single time they all get a cold or they have a flu or they ate something they shouldn't have and they have food poisoning. I mean, that doesn't make national news. Who cares? Honestly, bottom line, who cares? The left really cares. I don't, though. I read an article, and this came out of, believe it or not, came out of a website called The Drive that's more car-related, that as I read this, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is coming out of The Drive, and it's entitled, "The President Contracting COVID-19 is a Major National Security Crisis." It almost makes me not want to read any of the things that I see on The Drive just because of this one article, even though I get a lot of information for The Drive for my radio show, my other radio show, Drive Radio. This article, though, is so slanted and so biased, and by the way, so inaccurate, it's ridiculous. It's making it sound like Donald Trump doesn't have the capacity while he's having COVID to run the country. Folks, if every time the leader of the free world got a cold and we made them transfer power to the vice president because we thought we had a national security interest problem, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Do these people not understand how absolutely ignorant they sound when they say things like this? First of all, what's happened is we have blown COVID up so high and have blown it out of proportion so much that, yeah, when President Trump gets COVID, everybody thinks it's a national security issue. Folks, it's not. He's back on the job. He never left the job. When did it officially come out that he had COVID, Charlie? Friday or Thursday? I don't remember now. Was it Thursday or Friday? I think it was Thursday, I want to say. Yeah, it was Thursday. Thursday evening, I want to say. Okay, so he had COVID. Today's, make sure I'm checking this right, Charlie, Monday? So he went to the hospital, I believe, over the weekend. It was Friday night or Saturday. Spent a couple of nights there, and he's now back at it. So we basically have gone from Thursday to Monday, so I'm not even going to count Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and he's back at it on the fourth day. Now, I know, and I'm not going to say anything that would be offensive to those that have lost family members with COVID. I get it, folks. I know some people can get COVID and have really, really, really a bad time with it. I get that. Those that especially are immune compromised or have some other underlying issues, I get it, okay? I understand it's bad. But you know what, folks? Here's what we're not talking about. So are other illnesses they could get. Those same individuals could get a respiratory illness, that they could get H1N1, the regular flu. Okay, there's all sorts of things they could get besides COVID and also die. But we don't talk about that because right now COVID is front and center. And the reason it is because the entire world and the left have wanted it to be. And I believe for one reason and one reason only, to dethrone President Trump, to get him out of the presidency. That's it. That is their number one goal with COVID. Our governor's participating. Every other blue state governor is participating. They're doing every single thing they possibly can to keep the economy shut down, not allow those great numbers of growth to, you know, after COVID to come back. And they're doing every single thing they possibly can to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't look good through COVID. Even though the left will come out and tell you that Donald Trump didn't take COVID seriously, well then what was the 14 days to slow the spread that then turned into 30 days to slow the spread, which, by the way, I wasn't for the second one. The first one, yep, we did it. The second one, because he's president and I'll do what he says. I did it. I didn't necessarily agree with the second one. And by the way, I think looking back on it, he would probably question that again. But for those that will say he didn't take it seriously, then why did we have a 30-day slow the spread? He didn't lock anything down, by the way. He had the states do that on their own. He told each and every state, you do what you feel is best in your area. I'm not going to override anybody. I'm going to encourage X, but you do whatever you think you need to. He had daily calls, by the way, if I'm not mistaken back then, with a lot of those governors of each state in a conference call to make sure that everybody was on the same page. Remember that, Charlie? We went through all of this. We were on air every day. We never missed a beat. And he was having those conversations, but yet he wasn't taking it seriously. How else, and I'm asking even the people that are texting me, what else would you have had him do to make you think he was taking things seriously? The texter that I was going back and forth with said was not putting down other leaders for COVID. What leaders would those be? The ones in China that screwed up? That swept it under the rug? That didn't tell the rest of the world what was going on? That let that slip out of their lab? That kind of accusation, which, by the way, is a valid accusation? I'm confused as to what you would like him to have done in the leading us through COVID that didn't get done. Where we really screwed up as a country is the blue governors that have kept things shut down, in a lot of cases, unlawfully. They just determined that in Michigan, by the way. We've already known that. Colorado, you should be next. Problem is, we don't have anybody here suing the governor that will make it through the court system and actually get any kind of a verdict. That should be happening here. We've got things in Colorado closed down that shouldn't be closed down. Restaurants, open them up. I was at a restaurant last night. This whole COVID thing is the biggest joke I've ever seen in my entire life. Not allowing businesses to operate. There's businesses now that are, New York, there's certain boroughs and sections of New York City where de Blasio is shutting things back down and retracting where they're at. Dumb. But that's what he's doing. And that's what these blue governors would have everything shut down. These power-hungry blue governors that think that their crap doesn't stink would keep everything shut down if all of us would let them. And I'm with Richard. I think what's happening right now, and I see it all the time, doesn't matter what your political affiliation even is. There's a few hardcore lefty Karens running around that don't want anything to open back up for fear somebody might die. But you know what? Outside of a few Kevins and Karens, people are sick and tired of being cooped up, locked down, and shut down. And honestly, folks, it doesn't matter what political stripes you have. They are tired of it. I see it. I feel it. I hear it. I watch it. I'm even watching the people as I go out and do different things in public. I'm even watching the people that are supposedly, quote unquote, policing whether you're wearing a mask or not. And again, there's a few Karens that work in some of these Costco's and so on that make sure everybody wears a mask. But by and large, most of the people working at these places don't care. And I'm being very serious in what I'm saying, folks. I'm still going to keep asking the question, when does it end? When does it end? When does the mask mandate in Colorado end? When does the half capacity at a restaurant end? 303-477-5600. I want your opinion. When does this end? I know a lot of you are going to say, well, as soon as the election's over. I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced if Trump wins, all of this goes away the next day. Not in Colorado. Polis is going to ride this thing on his throne for as long as he possibly can. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what happens to you. I've said that numerous times, and I mean it. Governor Polis does not care about the citizenry of the great state of Colorado. Not at all. Does not care. If he cared, he'd have people back at work. He doesn't care. He sits inside of his little castle up in Hygiene, where he lives, doesn't even live in the governor's mansion. He doesn't care. And when I say castle, go look up how much land and the different homes that he owns, him and his husband, and tell me it's not a castle. It is. He is, if not, the richest governor of a state, one of the richest governors of a state. And I believe he's probably the richest. Am I right, Charlie? I think he's worth about $400 million. I don't know too many other governors that are as rich as him. I think if Charlie double-checks me through the break here, we're going to find that Polis is one of, if not the richest governor in the country. So tell me he cares about any of these shutdowns and how it affects him. Doesn't affect him at all. In fact, depending upon where his investments are at, it might benefit him. By the way, that's something we're checking if there's some independent groups out there that would like to do that for me. Somebody should. And tell me, by having things shut down, does his portfolio grow or diminish? 303-477-5600. What do you think is going to happen with shutdowns after the election? Extreme Auto Repair is next, folks. What's not shut down? Auto Repair. You can always get your car fixed. And Extreme Auto Repair will give you a 15% discount if you mention Rush to Reason. Don't forget about that free second opinion. And there's a rebate on Cooper tires that they sell at cost coming up a little later in the month. Ask about that. Go to klzradio.com or call directly at 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme, promises kept.
Flesh and Beck Law Firm is next. Kevin Flesh, if you've involved any kind of an accident, need some help, need somebody to represent you, you're not getting your medical bills paid, or you know somebody in that circumstance, have them call Kevin today. 303-806-8886 or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence, and have to make a unanimous decision will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. And the question I asked earlier was, when do these lockdowns, mask orders, all this nonsense in Colorado end? John and Aurora, what's up?
Hey, I think it's when there's, like, for lack of a better word, like sufficient matriculation of the wealth back to the people that they want to have money. Mm. And when there's enough power that's gone to the government to take over and control the population.
You know what, John? I don't know that I can disagree with that at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's not like a set date, but you know, they squeeze all the small businesses out, and they can only hold on for so long. It's like an individual suing a big corporation. They have tons and tons and tons of money to just keep writing things out in court until someone goes broke.
Yep.
As soon as all these businesses go broke, they can just suck it all up, gobble it up, and give it to their friends, and there you go.
John, I don't know that I don't think I can disagree with your comments. And a while back, I kept saying, well, I think everything ends the day after the election. But I'm not convinced of that anymore. If Trump wins, especially if he wins.
Depends on who wins.
Yeah, if he wins, I don't see him. I see these things continuing on. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, folks, but I don't see him ending.
It'll end if and when Biden wins and then gets pushed out of office. Right, and Kamala takes over. That's when it'll all end.
He's
just a puppet too.
I'm afraid that you are correct in everything you've said, John. I hate to agree with you, but I think you're right.
Right on.
Unfortunately, no. Good stuff. I appreciate it. And guys, I think he's right. I'm going to even retract some of my own words. I thought for the longest time things would end when the election was over. I do think Donald Trump's still going to win, especially now. And I always thought that up to this point, that as soon as the election was over and he won, that this mask mandate and all these other orders would end. I'm not convinced of that anymore. In fact, If there's any kind of a spike in cases, even around or after the election, cases, not deaths, cases. I think things even get tougher than they are now as almost a payback for those individuals that voted for Trump. I could be completely wrong. 303-477-5600. I hope I am, actually. I really do. I hope I'm wrong. I hope what I'm saying doesn't happen. Unfortunately, given the track record of the left and of Kevin Polis here in Colorado and the egotisticalness of that jerk, yeah, he is. He's a jerk. I don't think I can say what I was saying anymore. I don't think I can tell you that everything goes back to normal on November 4th, because I don't think it does. Craig, you're next.
Hi, John.
How are we doing, sir?
Hey, I'm afraid the mask requirements are not going to end.
I think you're right.
Simply for the fact that they have instilled so much fear in everybody about this stuff.
Yep.
That let's say Trump wins the election and people say, okay, that's it. You know, I'm not wearing my mask anymore. And you go into some of the businesses let their restrictions drop for the very same reason. Say, well, you know, we're going to leave that up to the discretion of our customers.
Right.
Okay. So you don't go into your, let's say a business is maybe half and half, half masked, half unmasked. Then the business starts getting a bunch of backlash from the people that are still afraid.
The Karens.
So they start. The Karens, they start giving that feedback to the businesses. The businesses say, I don't want to lose that business.
Yep.
We're putting the mask effect fully back into effect.
Yep. Craig, much like John from Aurora, I think both you guys are spot on. I was for the longest time saying that after the election, this stuff all goes away. But I am sorry to say I'm not convinced of that.
Well, one thing I heard about the NFL, sports related, that evidently, you know, they've been issuing some pretty steep fines to players, coaching staffs for not wearing their masks. Evidently, whoever is running the show in the NFL, if it's not the commissioner, I heard something to the effect that there was going to be a conference call between all the owners and the higher-ups in the NFL. And they said if they don't start taking it seriously about wearing the mask, they would start to lose things like draft picks.
Oh, my word. Ridiculous. By the way, what you're saying does not shock me. But and also what you're saying is that's the NFL. That's going to start applying. You're going to see that in businesses coast to coast. And I don't get it, Craig. I really don't. We haven't proven yet. In fact, we have proven. Let me rephrase that. We have proven many times over, masks don't do anything. If you're worried about you getting something, then go ahead and wear a mask. But even then, it's not going to keep COVID from going through any of the masks that are on the market unless you wear a full N99 mask or N95 mask that's out there. The reality is, outside of that, there's no guarantees that you're not going to get COVID from wearing a mask. All it's doing is a big, and I've said this all along, and I'm going to keep saying it, it's a big feel-good measure like TSA at the airport. That's all it is.
Well, I don't know this for a fact, but someone I work with, that I spoke with today, worked for a catering company that catered one of Polis's parties. And once the doors were shut and all those attending were told, go ahead, relax, take your masks off, and that Polis also has some interest in a mask-making company.
Mm. I can't verify that. Somebody else out there listening, maybe somebody can. I'd have to do some investigative work, and no offense, Craig, I have too much else going on to figure that out, and that's not what I do here on the show. But if somebody can prove that to me and send me some detailed info as to whether or not he does, I'd love to see it.
And if it isn't a power thing with Polis, then why is he issuing statements about how we should all celebrate our Halloween?
It is a power issue. I'll go to the grave and saying, Craig, it is a power issue with him, for sure.
Yeah, it's like I don't need someone telling me how I want to observe a, you know, celebration or a party. And, you know, this whole idea of, you know, like Los Angeles, they were going to crack down on people having parties.
Oh, there's even folks now going out as far as Thanksgiving, saying Thanksgiving dinner should be, you know, virtual and no family should even get together. That's even being said, Craig. Stupid.
Oh, I know. That's the choice of families have to make amongst themselves. That is no business of the government.
No business of the governor. And if there's a family member that feels compromised, like they couldn't be at family dinner because of all of this, then that family needs to deal with that on a case-by-case basis. But, you know, again, the government doesn't need to be in the middle of that at all whatsoever, period.
Yeah, it's so out of control.
We've lost our ever-loving mind, Craig. It's ridiculous. It's dumb what we're doing right now as a society. It's just stupid. I can't believe it, actually.
It is. If you said this a year ago, this would
happen. I'd have called you a liar.
No, exactly.
I really would have. Craig, I appreciate it as always. Great phone call. Thanks so much for that. And if anybody out there can verify anything of what Craig said when it comes to Polis and some of his money-making ventures, and does he own any stake in a mask, you know, producing PPE, producing company, I would love to know if that's the case. And also would love to know on this particular party Craig was just talking about, if that in fact is the case. If anybody can give me any information on that and send it to me, I would love to chat about that. So with that, let's do this. Enchanted Kitchens is last today, and not last because of who they are, but just the way that things worked out today. We talked to them earlier in the hour, and what you don't want to be is last when it comes to getting your kitchen and that ready for Christmas, because right now you can't be ready by Thanksgiving. You could be ready by Christmas if you get in there and get hustling. Go to klzradio.com, or you can find them again at 303-376-7588.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, and don't forget our first hour replays here in just a few minutes. So if you missed anything in the first hour, you can catch it next between 6 and 7. Tomorrow, though, Andy will be with me, and I've got several guests coming on tomorrow talking about Amy Coney Barrett, one of those being Ashley McGuire, senior fellow at the Catholic Association. There's been a lot of attacks against Amy Coney Barrett when it comes to her Catholic faith, and so we've got some guests coming on to talk about that in particular. John Zmerich, of course, will join us as always. And then I've got lots of guests tomorrow. But by the way, also have Larry Klayman on, author of It Takes a Revolution, Forget the Scandal Industry. A lot of what we just got done talking about, we'll talk about further tomorrow. So with that, guys, have a great evening. Again, if you missed the first hour, it's up next. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.